This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. It's the triumphant return of Justice Malala today on the burning platform at 7 o'clock. Yes. My name is Ben Karpinski. I will be your host for the show this morning. I wonder if anyone would know. Do you think you can tell the difference? Or some people probably don't. Yeah?
Gareth, it would be a mystery that would never end until we actually made it.
Oh, there we go. Oh. And I could also start the show and go, I'm C.S. Ungweni. People would just buy it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. How you see it?
The same way I'm Mabali Moloi.
Mm. Well, where is Mabali Moloi?
Good question.
Is she here?
Running a bit late.
Oh, okay. That happens. So it's a thing about the mornings. You know, you start the day and everybody knows when you're late. Some people start at like 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a lot of our people come in here at 9 in the morning, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess it's like a normal kind of work start.
Yeah.
We always forget that we're not normal. We're exceptional.
Nope. Yes, we are.
Any complimentary thing you can throw Sears where he picks up with both hands and runs. Amanda, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm so great. I'm looking forward to the weekend, so I'm actually fabulous.
Ah, yes, because today's it's Thursday. Oh, my Yay. God. It's
Pools. It's Pools Thursday.
Yes. And my new theory is working out for me.
What's that?
Which is go out on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
And then I'm a hermit over the weekend.
Yeah, but
so I really do pooza on a Thursday.
Yeah, but then don't you feel horrible on a Friday morning?
Friday I'm half in, half out, guys. I can like go through Friday
like
with Jaunty, my eyes closed.
Sort of like Jaunty Sill, half in, half out.
All I know is when I come into work on a Friday, just avoid Jaunty touching me and yeah. That's success.
Does he normally touch you, Sia?
Inappropriately?
Ben.
Show us in the pillow.
On the doll where he touched me.
Yeah.
He also touched me emotionally a lot, so I won't even get into that.
What's the plan? What's the plan this weekend? Anything exciting happening? I mean, I know it's Thursday, but you got to think ahead. What's going on? Amanda, you've got plans.
I'm going to a wedding on Saturday that I'm so excited about.
Those are the best parties.
Best.
Mm. Family, friend, what is it?
Friends of mine, yeah.
Okay.
So they're getting married. And then Sunday, my favorite DJs are here from Sweden, so I'm going to watch them.
Who are they?
Sons of Maria.
Never heard of them.
You have to give them a listen. They're epic.
Sons of Maria. What sort of music are we talking about here?
It's going to be heavy.
No, it's Deep House, Ben.
So, Sons of Maria. Oh, my goodness. They're playing in Boxburg?
Nikki Beach.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Where else do top DJs play? Yeah, that's the first place they go.
Yeah, have you not heard of Ultra Boot? All right, let's take a listen. This is it. Is this them?
Yeah, this is them. It's not their best one, but this is average.
Okay, well, what song do you like?
It's called What It Feels Like.
Let me find it. Let's get everybody here to...
And on a Sunday, Nochal.
To share in your excitement. What It Feels Like. I'm struggling to find. Hey, morning, Mubs.
Hey.
What's up?
Yeah.
Oh, good. What It Feels Like. We're just talking about what Amanda's doing this weekend. Well, what all of us are doing this weekend. All right, here it is. Let's see if this is any good. Maybe some other people want to join you at your party. This.
Yeah, go in the middle of the song. It takes a bit long.
Oh.
You like this?
Love this.
All right.
Actually, this does feel Sunday-y.
Very nice.
Cool.
Great.
Yeah, I see what you mean. All right, that could be fun. Mm. And that's on a Sunday?
I don't know why they've done it on a Sunday.
Yeah, because then you have to come to work on Monday and you're going to be hungover.
No, but I'm just going for their set and then I'm leaving.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, what we're going to do in a little while is check in on Extra. That's Amanda's cousin, Extra, who is in... She's at some game farm somewhere. She's been working there. It's like a holiday job for her. And Amanda sent me a picture of Extra the other day standing over a buck that she'd shot.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she had the blood in her face and everything. Like a proper hunter. So we'll find out from her what's happening. Because that, you know, some people, you've got to be careful who you even talk to about hunting. Because some people get very uptight about it. Conservationists are usually the most sensible people of all. Because the conservationists know that hunting helps to pay for some of this stuff. And the animals would not survive in the numbers that they do, and thrive in many, very many cases all over the country, in private game reserves, national game reserves, out in the wild, unless there was conservation money, and most of that conservation money is contributed by hunting. Because it costs a lot to, you know, you go in and you shoot an antelope, for example, you have to pay for that antelope. And then the, whatever the institution is that you were hunting with, they get that money, and most of it goes straight back into making sure that the resources are sustainable on that farm.
Hmm. Yeah, that's like the big picture.
Yeah, but you can't have that conversation with an activist, because an activist will say, oh, well, you're killing the animals wrong, full stop.
But is the activist eating chicken and beef every other night?
Some of them are, that's the problem. Well, so then, hypocrites. Yep. But then you meet people like my sister who isn't. You know, she won't eat chicken, she won't eat beef, she doesn't like animal products. And she is an activist. And I can't have a discussion with her about hunting because a lot of the time she's just very emotional about it. For her, it's an emotional thing.
Yeah. I get it.
Are we on Skype or on the phone? Phone. Okay, so let me go to let's speak to Extra here. See what we haven't spoken to her for a little while now, so it's probably a good time to check in. Hey, Extra, what's up?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. How's it going on that game farm?
It's going good. Yeah.
How long have you been there now?
I've been there for like 6 months now.
Are you there at the moment?
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm not working anymore. I finished.
Oh, okay. Now, I saw a picture that Amanda sent to me of you. You'd shot your first buck the other day.
Mm-hmm. A bliss book.
A bliss book. Look, you even said that like a South African. All right, so how was the experience? Did you enjoy it? Was it frightening? Was it scary? Was it exciting? What was it?
It was very emotional because I was thinking on the one hand, like, I can do this. I need to show everyone in Australia, like, this is our family. Like, we are hunters and all that stuff. And then on the other hand, I was thinking, they shall not kill. Like, in the Bible, it says, they shall not kill. And I was like, fuck. I was feeling very, like, sad because I didn't want to kill an innocent animal. But I just thought, fuck it, you know, bucket list.
Right. Yeah. And when it happened, there must have been a lot of adrenaline.
Yes, because my first time when I was shooting, my cousin had a stick where you can rest your gun on.
Yeah.
And the blowstock was staring right at me, and my cousin said, you have to shoot it, like, in the middle of the chest.
Right.
I said, okay, right, I can do this. And I was pointing, and I was like, fuck, I can't see. And they're like, in the goat thingy.
Uh-huh.
But I shot, and I missed, because my cousin said I was not squeezing. I was too quick, and I wasn't looking at my eyes, and I was just all over the place. I wasn't focusing. And so my second time shooting, my cousin said the far left one, the one that looks sad, so he said you have to shoot it like in the like chest or wherever, somewhere.
Hang on, it looked sad?
It did, because it was the one that was kind of like outside the group, and it was looking kind of like down the whole time. I was like, shit, okay. Just have to do it.
It's always the ones outside the group that get peeled off and eaten for meat, right? It happens. Yeah. Happens with humans too.
Yes, that's true.
So did you shoot it that time? You get it in the heart?
I got it one shot straight in the heart.
Wow, that's pretty good shooting. I mean, even if you missed once before, that's not bad at all for someone who's not around guns all the time.
Yeah, but apparently it was a really far distance. Like it was. I can't remember how far that I did one shot in the heart, but she was an old female.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a pretty good shot. First time I shot her, I was like, crying and I was like screaming and everything. I was like, I fucking did it. Like, I did it finally. And yeah.
It's an exciting feeling. Now, are you going to make some biltong out of this? Bless book?
Yeah, we actually gave it to the village next to us. We gave it to their school.
Oh, okay. So that they could they could use it for meat and for skins and everything else, right?
Yeah, they hardly get any food, so we just gave it to them.
Oh, okay. So you're not going to get any biltong from your own kill?
No, but at least I think we have the head or the trophy.
Oh, okay, you're going to have a trophy. Do you want to take that back to Australia with you?
Unfortunately, Australia is very, very strict on what you take back, so I'm not allowed to take it back.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
You put the blood on your face, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Is that like some sort of ritual they told you had to perform?
It's like a family tradition and also your first-time hunting tradition.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to kill some more animals?
I do. I'm not sure what, but just probably like one more. My cousin and my uncle isn't here. They've gone off hunting with customers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what does Amanda think of this stuff?
She just thought, shame. Like why? Like a hippie. Like, oh, but still cool. Sorry.
All right, Extra. You coming back to Joburg soon?
The 29th, I'll be flying out the 31st, but my dad will be there, so I'll spend most of my time with him.
All right, so you're going to come and visit us one more time before you go to Australia?
Oh, yes, I will.
All right, cool. We'll see you then.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Catch up soon.
Cool.
Can't wait.
Thanks, Extra.
Okay, bye, cool. Guys.
There we go.
Bye.
There's Amanda's cousin, Extra, who is now a hunter.
No!
Amanda, you're not impressed?
No, not one bit. Sorry. We have this, like, cousin group and this picture. Now, no one's been talking in this cousin group. She just puts this picture in. So, the one cousin's like, and now? And then I had, like, a can't watch face. And then she's like, and then Extra replies, yo, one shot in the heart and she was dead. We're like, whoa, okay.
Well, that's good. That's good shooting. And you don't want to let the animal suffer by shooting it somewhere in the leg or in the... No, I you don't want to make a mistake. Hey, listen, there's a story in the news yesterday. I know that my buddy mentioned it. It could have been the day before yesterday even. About these cannibals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in somewhere in northern KZN Escort or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading this with horror. So it turns out that it wasn't just one or two people. It was like the whole village of people.
Mm.
It's like 100 people who'd all been eating human flesh. Now, how come this isn't the biggest story in the whole world? Why is this not a big story?
Oh, I just got like...
I mean, imagine
shivers.
100 people in a village are eating other humans. And remember, the reason that they handed themselves in, the guys who were supposedly at the forefront of this thing, is because they were sick of eating human flesh. Those were their exact words.
Yeah, that was the one guy's exact words.
He said... I'm tired of eating human flesh.
Yep.
But is this like a ritual thing, or is it just because there's no food? Because the way this country is going with the poverty line we spoke about yesterday, this could actually just be out of necessity now.
Ben, there's a huge line that you cry. You know, I will make excuses for poor people up to a point, but if you are eating other people, you're no longer part of civilized society.
Totally agree with you, Gareth. We'll not dispute that for a second.
Yeah. I don't care how poor or rich you are. There are always 1,000 things you could eat before you end up eating another person.
Yes, but when one person suggests it and then the mob mentality kicks in and then no one else has kind of got any food.
I mean, we should just wipe out this whole village. These are terrible people.
I agree.
Terrible people. There is no reason that this should become normalized.
Mm.
I saw a headline by Tom Eaton. I didn't read the story.
Eaton. I'm sorry.
I think the headline went something along the lines of, is it shocking cannibalism or is it just extreme banting? But I didn't read the actual article.
But really, this is... tell me it isn't the most disturbing story you've heard.
I agree.
It's
really
right up there with the fun bradars. And, you know, I don't understand. Like, people get all caught up in Oscar Pistorius or in Jacob Zuma's rape trial and any of these things, which are horrible enough, don't get me wrong. But 100 people are eating people in 2017. And this isn't in the forests of Borneo where they've never had contact with other people. They've got their rituals that are preserved for 1,000 years. You know, there's no reason for this to have happened. I mean, an escort, isn't that where they make all the sausages?
Well,
makes you a little bit worried about what's in those sausages.
Yeah, instead of pig snout, it's human something.
Yeah, balls or...
But like, where does it start and stop? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
And then,
you know,
it's just as if to make us feel even more proud of ourselves as a nation. Then there's that guy in the Free State who was, remember, he was cutting off the women's labia.
Danish guy?
Oh. Yeah. He's from Denmark, but he's living in South Africa, and he's doing this to different women over a period of, 2 years?
And he was stocking genitalia in his refrigerator.
He had women's genital parts in his freezer. And he was keeping a diary. Now, I know you've just woken up, and you're not in the mood to hear filthy, disgusting, rotten stuff like this, but this is really bad. Bad. And it's all in a week. Because this guy's on trial now, the guy who cut the genitalia. He's in Bloom on trial. These cannibals are living in... They're cannibals!
Yeah, there is no other word.
They're cannibals. They've been eating other people.
It's like an opening sequence of a M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, the village of people who eat people.
And imagine if your car breaks down while you are
village.
Driving. That is...
Because you're a stranger, they're not going to be... they're not going to think twice. They'll eat you before they even have to consider what's going on there, right?
Woo! Girl!
I heard whites don't taste as good.
Oh?
History and all the chronicles suggest that the darker meat is always better. So, Gareth, if we go, we'll be fine.
The meat's
the darker
same.
The berry, the sweeter the juice.
The meat's the
hey,
same.
Okay.
Well, that's what the tribes of East Borneo used to say.
Well, they used to, you know, in parts of Indonesia, they used to call us humans the long pig.
Because they are what, exactly?
No, because we taste like pork.
Stop.
Humans taste like pork. Yep.
So if you fry us well enough,
we taste like pork.
Crispy.
And that is also why in so many religions, pork is considered haram. It's verboten. It's not allowed because it's so close to the taste of human. And remember, human sacrifice used to be a real thing. So people used to smell humans brying as well once. Even if they didn't eat them, they'd sacrifice humans to God, you know, on an open fire. Apparently when we burn... Ask a firefighter. When a human burns, they smell like pig. Think about that.
There's no way we taste as good as bacon, though.
No.
Nothing in the world tastes as good as bacon.
Maybe if you just cut us up right. Let's ask the people who escort.
Yeah, and would we go as far as thinking, like, oh, okay, grandma's dead. Should we really waste money burying her and, like, a whole ceremony?
Let's have a thigh. You can have a...
Eat grandma.
No, you can have
a... But I think grandma's past her best. Yeah, meat-wise.
You want young.
That's right.
You know, you don't eat the oldest, most rotten animal in the herd. You eat the young, supple ones.
I mean, you've literally... The best you could do with grandma is probably a goulash or a stir-fry. You could not be serving fillet from grandma.
You could biltong her, though.
Even then.
I think I have just barfed in my mouth at least 7 times in this conversation alone.
But it's happening.
That's going to affect your meat. You're on the back of the line now.
So someone has to... Why is the story not so big, though? That's the thing that bothers me. It's like, do we go, oh, well, those people in escort, what do you expect?
But what do you mean not so big? I mean, it's in the news.
Okay.
I think what he's getting at, Mav, is if a Santon housewife was eaten by her son, as in one piece of meat, that would be a bigger story.
It's a satanistic ritual, and some son in Santon had to eat his mother.
Yeah.
But it would be on the front page of the New York Times.
The New York Times?
I think...
It would be, of course.
Listen,
it would be.
When they find a tribe of cannibals somewhere that we've never heard of, it's always in the news.
Imagine.
It's a big news story, no matter where they find them, in South America or in Indonesia or wherever they are. This is a tribe of people who've been eating people, but the difference is these are not tribes people from the forest. These are people who live in probably houses made of bricks and concrete, who have access to running water and electricity.
You know, it's like the whole...
They probably have smartphones, and they're busy eating other people.
They've probably got jobs, Gareth. They probably listen to us right now.
Hey, guys.
But it's like all the people die in Sierra Leone, like 20 people die in Barcelona.
Yeah, we have different standards for what...
It's a profile thing.
And this is just the thing that bothers me. It's like, how is it possible that we can have a certain standard for news? And if... I mean, if this... Josef Fritzl, horrible human being, right? Oof. World news. Awful human being, deserved to be world news. Terrible things. He locked his daughter in the basement. You remember that Austrian nutcase? Daughter in the basement. He used to rape his daughter. He had children that were both his children and his grandchildren. It was the most sick story. The mother said she didn't know anything about it, his wife. And that story reverberated around the world. And you think, what a horrible situation. Here, some, at the moment, still unidentified woman is killed and eaten by a bunch of people, 100 of them or so, in a village. Because they all pitched up at the court to show their support for these guys who'd handed themselves in. And no one's questioning this. They're all like, I mean, then every journalist in South Africa should be down there at the moment, asking every question. But why don't we cover this like we cover Fritzl or you know, the Van Breda axe murder?
This is so bizarre.
It really is.
Why is there not a channel devoted to understanding why these people do this?
There should be a whole channel, and we should know all of their names. We should be sitting here in the morning talking about each of the different people, and which one do you think ate what part, and... You know?
How they eat. Like, I think that's...
What, do you cook it?
Yeah.
How do you prepare it?
Or do you eat it raw?
I mean, this that's just... Forget further. My kitchen rules. This should be the show.
My neighbor rules.
Yeah. My neighbor's balls.
And lest we forget, we only heard about this because one of these guys walked into the police station himself.
I can't. He walked in, held his stomach.
He went, I can't have
any more human.
I'm tired
of eating human.
And it's, also showed evidence. Like he brought, what did he bring?
A leg or a limb. it was like an Escort Streetwise 2. He just rolls in there with it.
There you are, Colonel Mbele. You're just, it's a Sunday night. You think, oh. Yeah, another shift at the police station.
What do I want?
Whatever happens here in Escort. Oh.
Well, you had an exciting day.
Then someone walks in with a limb.
No, they're like, you know, I've been eating most of this, but I can't finish it. Do you want some? Hell, that is some story.
I see.
All right, let's get into the five things you need to know this morning. It's brought to you by Colcacchio's Pizzeria. You need to get to them. There are different Colcacchios all over the country. They've just opened up a brand new flagship store in the V&A waterfront in Cape Town, which is magnificent. It's got an extraordinary menu. It's got some beautiful decor. It's got a really cool, keen, and friendly staff. And everybody who's anyone in Cape Town is eating there at the moment. So if you head on down to the V&A waterfront, if you're in Cape Town, you will find yourself very, very happy and satisfied with the quality and the food at that Colcacchio's particularly. But all of them are good, so it's not worth me making too much of a distinction between that one and all the others. I just ate there most recently. And you can eat at any of them and have the same experience. Ben's got one right up the road from him.
Yep, a little Mio Colcacchio, which is a smaller, more zippy kind of one. It's great.
You can get tremendous varieties of pizzas, pastas, salads, whatever it is you're looking for. So I actually stopped at that one at Ben's not so long ago and got myself the famous San Siro salad. Mm-hmm. So you can do that too. Mubs, what are the five things we need to know?
Well, government have announced plans to contribute 8 million rand to Sierra Leone as part of relief efforts following a deadly mudslide. Over 1,000 people are presumed dead, with nearly 500 people being found killed and as many as 600 that are still missing. 3,000 more have been left homeless, and this is after the side of Sugarloaf Mountain collapsed onto a community. Now, our Relations Minister, Maitengwana Mashabane, said that South Africa is contributing 8 million rand for humanitarian assistance through the United Nations World Food Program.
What a horrible story.
It's tragic.
As if Sierra Leone doesn't have so many problems already, you know. And a natural disaster is just such a tough thing to deal with. Because it's nobody's fault. Mm. You want to get angry with someone, but, you know, it happens. And obviously, in this case, 1,000 people or more have been killed. It's terrible.
Now, Gauteng has just scored 65% for their latest audit process.
How much?
65%, Gareth. Hmm. The latest audit outcomes have been released by the Premier, David Makhura. It shows that Gauteng has managed to attain 22 clean audits. The number of clean audits has improved from 56% to 65%.
All right.
7 departments, including the Office of the Premier, achieved clean audits, while 8 departments achieved unqualified reports, and that includes the health department. Makhura says the health department is showing improvement, but it still has a way to go. 15 public entities achieved clean audits.
Okay.
I'd love to know who's auditing these government departments, though.
Would be the Auditor General.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Google and Walmart are teaming up for, I don't know, what's meant to be some other kind of big fight. They are trying to overthrow Amazon's growing dominance in online shopping. So yesterday, Google and Walmart announced that Google's hands-free voice-activated Google Home program is going to be joining Walmart's vast new network of U.S. stores to allow customers to order groceries and other items to be home-delivered through Google Express.
Huh.
The initiative is a direct rebuttal to Alexa. Alexa is Amazon's popular artificial intelligence program and comes as the online retailer prepared to swallow Whole Foods market. So it would seem big companies and big businesses are, you know, going at loggerheads with each other.
All right.
And then it's just my laptop here. Oh, yeah, here we go. Our Gauteng Transport MEC, Ishmael...
Your laptop, was it doing something rude again?
Yeah, well, it does. Mm. The Gauteng Transport MEC, Ishmael Vadi, yesterday slammed an announcement, which was made by construction company Marion Roberts, that they're soon going to be acquiring a 50% ownership in the Gautrain. The reason Ishmael Vadi slammed the report is because, according to him, the announcement by Marion Roberts was immature. He said the Gautrain Management Agency further notes that the Gauteng provincial government has not received a formal notice of any change in shareholding. The province has thus not had an opportunity to review the transaction, as it is entitled to under the concession agreement, and its approval of the change in shareholding may be required.
Oh. Well, what we'll talk about in half an hour or so from now is with Justice Malala, all the things that have been going on in politics. We'll have a quick look at all the most important things that have been going on in the news. And I think we've got to discuss Cyril in Parliament yesterday. Oy, oy, oy. I've never seen anyone stand there for so long and say nothing.
Oh.
Terrible.
Was this, were you talking about when he was trying to convince people that... there isn't an initiative within the ANC to punish all the MPs who voted.
It was that. It was Grace Mugabe. It was the Guptas and all these deals that are going down. Everything that they threw at Cyril, he was dodging. And not even very well. I've never seen anyone who I thought had a superior brain so cornered. Cornered like a jackal. Had nothing to say. Obfuscation. And trying to sideline and trying to deflect. And just a terrible performance by Cyril Ramaphosa in Parliament yesterday. Terrible, terrible. I have no faith in the ANC. I thought maybe Cyril, maybe Nkosazana. I lost faith in Nkosazana a long time ago when she took on all the trappings of Jacob Zuma's sort of faction in the ANC. And now I've lost faith in him too. The ANC's finished.
At least now we can get light to in very polished English.
But I'm sorry, Gareth. It doesn't help. I don't care if you speak as well as Cyril supposedly does. He didn't make any sense. And instead of saying escape, he said escape.
Oh.
That's not good English. Sweet Jesus. I mean, who says escape? Except for 8-year-olds.
A lot of people.
8-year-olds.
A lot of people.
All right. Well, then those people need to learn how to read and how to write. Go back to school. It's embarrassing. Escape.
Let's like ask those people, them as well.
It's like those people who think espresso is a thing. Espresso is a stupid TV show that doesn't know how to spell espresso. All right, let's get into some sport with Ben, shall we? To find out what's going on over there, here's Ben Karpinski with the latest.
Yesterday around 4 o'clock South African time, while people were just trying to get through their work days, AB de Villiers decided it was time for a big announcement.
Mm-hmm.
So what could it be, many asked. Well, for the last year or so, 18 months or so, it has been around, is AB committed to all formats, is he going to be the captain, is he going to play test cricket? Lots of stuff was hanging in the air, Gareth, so AB decided to clear the air, and he made an announcement.
A lot has been said and written over the past 12 months, and I feel it is time to make my position absolutely clear. Over the past year or so, I've tried to manage my commitments. I felt mentally and physically tired, my wife and I bringing up two fantastic kids, and playing in all three formats ever since 2004 has taken its toll.
I like the way he smiles after he says kids, like he thinks he's achieved something in life by having children.
I mean, he has.
Well, sure, but I mean, we don't know if they're good kids yet. They might be horrible children. They might grow up to be terrible adults. They might eat people in escort. We don't know.
Or they could be, groundbreaking.
A warning to proviso to parents. If you're going to be excited about your kids, give it a bit of time. Let's have something to be excited about. Just having them is not an achievement, all right? And that includes you, AB.
Oh, man.
By the way, why is there music playing in the background? Why is there stupid music playing in the background when AB de Villiers is making an announcement that he's not available to be captain?
And physically tired, my wife and I are bringing up two fantastic kids, and playing in all three formats ever since 2004 has taken its toll. Together with Cricket South Africa, we have tried to develop a viable schedule which allows me to prolong my career for as long as possible. This strategy has prompted some people to say that I'm picking and choosing when to play for the Proteas, and even to suggest I'm somehow putting myself before the team.
Well, of course you are, but that's okay. Do you have a problem with that?
No,
go ahead. You do what you want, AB. It's your career. I mean, what else would you be doing? If it wasn't for cricket, you'd be making those horrible songs.
This is simply not true. That has never been true. Playing for South Africa is and will always be the greatest privilege of my life. Now, to move forward, Faf du Plessis has proved to be an outstanding captain of the T20 and Test teams. And bearing this in mind, I have informed Cricket South Africa that I would like to step down as captain of the ODI team. It has been an honour to lead the team for the past 6 years, but it is now time for somebody else to take the ODI side.
Do we have to listen to all of this?
And whoever is chosen as the new ODI captain will have my complete support.
Okay, good. So you won't be trying to sabotage them, to undermine them. That's good news, right?
So he goes on to say that he'll be back for all three formats from the middle of October. So basically he's saying, okay, I'm here, I'm ready to play, but I don't want to play against Bangladesh because, well, they're just like a nothing team. So obviously,
he is picking and choosing.
Yeah. So there's obviously huge conspiracy theories, and it's always the case. So that's AB's official word, right? Which will last all of 14 seconds in the Twitter sphere. Then all the theories come out, like because he's sponsored by a big Indian tire manufacturer, he obviously came back so he can play in the Indian Test series. Then there's the whole thing around the fact that he just wants to play the World Cup. So CSA bargained with him to play a few tests as well as that. But whatever it may be, I just believe that sports stars, they become so beholden to brands and all these kind of things that they can't ever just say, piss off, I'll do what I want. Because AB's made lots of money, right? And he's been so fantastic as a batsman, as a cricketer.
He's got to play for the two clubs.
And then it's always this, the pride, the honour. And we've spoken about this a lot of the time. Yeah. Pride and honour, patriotism, it's all stupid.
Right.
And, like, I'm so proud to play for the Proteas. His profile pic on Twitter is him in a Royal Challengers Bangalore shirt.
Right.
Give me this crap about it's the biggest honor of my life.
If it was, it would be your profile picture.
Yeah. So that's AB's official word in it. And I said a while ago, just leave him alone.
Listen, I like AB. I don't have a problem with him, but this bullshit of having to have an announcement for something as dumb as this is outrageous.
It's just gone too far. So that will be.
I thought he was going to announce that he's supporting the Khaleesi in Game of Thrones. That would be an announcement.
No, there was many. There was much disappointment. People would just say, "Well, why don't you just retire? We're so tired of your crap."
Yeah.
But then if you go on all of AB's messages on Twitter, because he's got 4 million followers, of which 3 million come from India, everything is just like, oh, AB, you're the best. We can't wait to see you. You've broken my heart, but it's so good to see you play. Oh, their lives are dictated by what AB does. It's really, really funny.
All right.
In football, Liverpool are...
What I'm going to say is, where's Pat Simcox now?
He's selling houses, Gareth, in the south coast of Durban.
That's what you're going to be doing one day, AB. All right, carry on.
No, if he's made too much money, Gareth.
Yeah, if he's being paid by the Indian
fraternity,
he's going to be set for life.
He can buy Pat Simcox about 5 years. So
I think you could buy him now.
Yeah, probably. In football news, Liverpool are officially through to the UEFA Champions League group stages. They beat 1899 Hoffenheim 4-2.
Uh-huh.
Horrible name for a club. Who do you play for? 1899 Hoffenheim.
Oh, they've got the number in there as well?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so cool. They beat them 4-2, which means they go through to the draw, of which will take place today, 5 o'clock South African time. Sorry, 6 o'clock South African time. So I'll bring you all that tomorrow, because this is the big thing. Whoever plays the Champions League, those are the teams that really matter in life. But locally, it seems that Cape Town City, well, last week wasn't just some opening fluke. They won again. They beat Platinum Stars last night. Maritzburg United did the same against IS Cape Town. Arrows drew with Boom Celtic. Free State Stars, well, they drew with Wits as well. So still no win for Wits after 2 matches, the defending champs. Kaizer Chiefs, well, after about 7 or 8 minutes, they had a guy sent off. And Supersport United beat them 2-1. Wow. Tough start to the season there. And, well, Compella can only say so many different things. He runs out of lines. You know, when you're winning, you can sprout all that crap that he talks, and everyone's like, oh, that's so cool. But when you lose...
No. I heard some commentator over the weekend talking about the Pirates win, right? And they were talking about it like it was the biggest story. And I thought... Maybe Pirates fans are the only ones who are as excited as this commentator. He was carrying on like it was when the World Cup was won, you know?
Well, it's a big thing for Pirates to win matches nowadays.
Because they don't, usually.
Not really, no.
Yeah, but that's also why I was surprised. Like, you don't gild the lily here, dude. Count your victory and move on.
Like, I think they're just happy to have anything, nice. Lily included.
Yeah.
It's a big weekend for golf. It's the Northern Trust Open, which is the start of the FedEx run-in. So if you win this, you win $10 million. And basically, you're made for life. So Rory McIlroy is the defending champ. He's had so many injuries and health niggles throughout the year. He decided he's going to try and defend his title here in the playoff series. But then, no more golf for 3 months. He's not taking any more. That's it. His final event will be the Dunhill Links at St Andrews. And then after that, he's told the European Tour, sorry, I can't play your big events. I am just too sore. I need to reassess my life. So, whether that means, I don't know what that means, but, you know, he's taking a break. He's pulling an AB. He will pick and choose where he goes, and he's entitled to do so. We must all just back off.
Yes.
We're start making these guys father figures in our lives. They're sports people. They do things with balls. That's what they do. Let them do what they want. Neuroscience suggests that Floyd Mayweather will beat Conor McGregor. I know this is an absolute bloody no story, but everyone's chiming in what they can in the last few days before the big hype fight gets into motion. Well, Gareth, I would just say, because boxing is so technical, that even though Conor McGregor is younger, bigger, stronger, all those kind of things, the technical abilities of boxers, you can't learn that. I mean, sure, McGregor's been fighting. He started his career as a bit of a scrapper, but that's all he is. He's just a bit of a scrapper. That's why the UFC was such a good place for him. But Floyd Mayweather, 49 professional boxing wins. Conor McGregor, 0.
Right.
Let's not forget that. So what are you thinking that all this brash bravado is going somewhere? You need experience in these kind of things. Mayweather's just going to stand back. He's going to wait for McGregor to tire himself out. And then a few jabs here or there. And then suddenly McGregor's going to panic. And you probably want to kick him in the head. If he does, that'll get disqualified.
Right.
Russell Domingo, we know he's been thrown out on his ass pro tier wise. But looks like he'll probably be taking one of these T20 Global League teams somewhere. So it looks like the Pretoria side could be actually asking him to coach pretty soon. All speculation at the moment. The big talk around the Global League T20 sides are them just announcing their team names and logos. Because you know it's all foreign owners, right?
Right.
So they're not like going to be anything too local or patriotic or culturally interesting. And with each new logo that comes out, well, I know people are angry on Twitter all the time, but these logos and things are pretty rough. That's pretty much it for the sport. I'll give you all the big fixtures tomorrow. Of course, there's big rugby this weekend. There'll be more cricket and a whole ton of football.
All right, let's check in with Anthea Gardner, see what's going on in your money. A little bit of Spanish for you this morning, Anthea.
Thank you very much. That's very cool.
All right. Yesterday was not bad on the markets, huh?
Yeah, it was okay. We were up about 0.33%. Again, resources and financials were lower, but definitely the industrials were holding us up. And one share in particular, Naspers.
Yeah, I know you're sick of me asking about this day today. Like, are we up a little bit? Are we down a little bit? It drives you mad because you've got this long-term vision.
No, but I do. I am involved in the market every day. But you're right. We kind of need to look past that a little bit. We do.
Right. Okay, you were saying Naspers, sorry?
Touched 3,000 Rand per share for the first time yesterday. But it didn't manage to close there. So it traded during the day and then closed 2,993 Rand. But it's well on its way.
I hate to say I told you so, but didn't I bring this up the other day?
Yesterday, in fact. Oh, it was like,
thank you very much.
As if. And then the really good news is that CPI inflation was published at 4.6%. We were expecting a 4.7, but this is a really good number. It's the sixth straight month of deceleration in the inflation rate. And there's a couple of things, obviously, and I really want to point this out, because one, obviously, the relatively stronger rand has been good for inflation to keep it lower. And then, of course, the alleviation of the drought effects. But the one thing that was quite obvious was that housing and utilities inflation was fairly flat. Well, when I say flat, 2.1% year on year. And that really is because, as a direct consequence, I should say, of NERSA only allowing Eskom to increase tariffs by 2.2%. Because remember last year, they put it up by over 9%. Guess what happened? Inflation spiked. This year, they said only 2.2%. And so this has really helped. I mean, it's incredible what smart decisions do. You know, the consumer's under so much pressure. I keep saying this. It sounds like a stuck record. But it really does help the consumer when inflation is well within its kind of limits, or I should say within the Saab's target range of between 3 and 6%. So I think with kind of this low inflation and this persistent low growth scenario, it really gives the Saab or the Reserve Bank a window, another opportunity, or I should say a good reason to cut interest rates again. So they meet in September and November this year, and the market's kind of split between whether they'll cut in September or November, but I think we can expect another rate cut before the end of the year. So that would be a nice little Christmas gift for us.
Okay.
And then a couple of company, a bit of company news, I should say. First of all, everyone's talking about this Steinhoff Africa retail listing, because they put out details yesterday, quite aptly called STAR, so Steinhoff Africa Retail. You know they're going to spin that out of Steinhoff and list it separately. Yes. And they've started putting out information on STAR. It's difficult to say where they're going to place the shares. I think they're probably going to do it slightly lower than ShopRite, which is trading at a 20 times price earnings ratio, and maybe a bit higher than Steinhoff, which is very cheap at a 12 times forward PE. And I think they'll probably place these STAR shares at about a 15 times PE, which I think would be a good value for money. You know, the EBITDA growth they're projecting at 21.5%. So everyone very excited about this new listing that's coming. And so they should be, I think. It'll be very exciting. I mean, for obviously probably the most excited person is Christo Visser, because the ShopRite Steinhoff deal didn't go through earlier this year. And I guess this is just another way of him consolidating his retail assets into kind of one listed company.
Are you excited? Are you excited enough to think about buying some?
Yes, I actually am.
Okay.
But of course, until they actually put out the price, I'm just going to temper my excitement.
All right. Got you.
Another share which is quite exciting, Long for Life, because this is one we spoke about the other day when Jaffe resigned on Friday. He resigned from Birdvest on Friday, and I think the speculation was so that he could focus on Long for Life. Well, they announced yesterday that they're buying a beverages company called Inchley, which is, I want to say Nelspruit based, but I'm not 100% sure about that. Anyway, it's what they do is they bottle fizzy drinks, fizzy water or flat water as well, and energy drinks. They started in 2003 with one production line. They've now grown to seven production lines. They are, in fact, the second largest beverage contract packaging business in South Africa. So very much like Rhodes Food Group started out, where they just packaged food, in this case, packaging drinks, and then they kind of grow because they've also recently been awarded an alcohol license. So there's potential to grow even further. Long for Life are paying 360 million rand. That's on a 6x EBITDA basis. So for the financial year 2018, they made 60 million rand. So, of course, 6x 60 million gives you your 360 million value that Long for Life are paying. And it's interesting because I think when I saw this, it felt to me like this Long for Life is very much the same MO as Bidvest was for Joffy way back in the beginning. You know, a couple of disparate companies. So they've now bought Hold Sport. They've bought Sorbet. And now this one. And hopefully they'll be able to grow it into something bigger.
All right. Sounds good. I mean, he's proven he's got a track record. He must have a plan.
And you'd think he'd just kind of stop and retire, but no, he's just growing this business. And by the way, you asked me about how big Long for Life was the other day. So they started with a listing of 2 billion rand, but all these transactions that they've done are in fact now over 5 billion rand. So 2 billion rand he had in cash, issued more shares, took on some debt, bought some companies, and within months has got a 5 billion rand company.
Fantastic.
Not too shabby, huh?
Those are the people who will suddenly add to the bottom line for this country. We need a GDP that's on the up, not on the stagnant or the down.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
Okay, Anthea, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Anthea Gardner, now time for Said by Sia.
Okay, so, you know, Ben, we know you have a very special place for Meowsers, but I have to admit,
By the way, can we have a quick update on Meowsers' health?
It's going to take a bit longer than just a minute.
Oh no.
What do you mean?
Well, Gareth, yesterday was a very traumatic day for both of us. I took her to the vet, and anyway, this is meant to be the positive part of the show.
All right, well,
can you bump the cheese up now?
Meowsers is alive.
She's alive.
She is alive.
There we go. Is she breathing?
She's breathing and she's alive, yeah.
There we go.
She's livelier than yesterday.
This morning she was, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Over to Sia.
Well, as much as you may have a special place for Meowsers in your heart, I have to say I'm a dog person through and through, and we often complain about how horrible flying is, and I do believe dogs will save us all. And here's why. There's an airport in Vancouver, and bless their hearts for doing this, have now put, get this, therapy dogs in the airport.
Oh, for people who are scared of flying.
When you are having the soul-crushing experience of waiting at the airport, or your flight is delayed,
right,
or you're dealing with some annoyance in the queue.
It's going to stress the crap out of drug meals, though.
Well...
Oh, dear.
True that. So it's actually killing two birds with one stone. There, you will now get to play with dogs while you wait.
Oh, that is amazing.
And on top of that, these dogs come from a therapy dog program. So, like, it's kindness all around. Just chinchilling, waiting
there. This is wonderful.
I think this is the best thing ever. So
cool.
I hope this actually gets rolled out in more airports around the world. But you think about it, just like, ugh. My flight is delayed. What do I do now?
Go and pet the dogs.
Exactly.
I think everywhere should have therapy dogs. We need a therapy dog here.
Well, we had dogs come around the office yesterday.
There were dogs here yesterday?
Productivity came to a halt.
And happy days, right?
Happy days are here again, Ben. So they come from the St. John's ambulance program, and these dogs are at the airport for 2 hours every single day from Monday to Friday. So I say kudos on Vancouver, and I hope we actually, you know, like dealing with ACSA sometimes. Nice. We'd absolutely enjoy spending time with dogs.
Yeah, Axa, how about a little place where you could play with the dogs?
Hey.
It would be nice.
I'm down with that.
Because one of the worst places to be stranded is the airport.
Mm, mm, mm.
It's always, no matter how much you think, you know, you could do some shopping or you can have some lunch or you can have some dinner or whatever it might be, it's always a pain in the backside to be stuck at the airport. And if you can spend some time with some therapy animals, I think it could be a whole lot more fun. Alrighty, when we come back, we'll check in with Justice Malala. It's time for The Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. That's on the way next.
This is CliffCentral.com.